So if you'll take your Bible to 1 Timothy, and I want you to read verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter, I mean, sorry, I'm so sorry, 2 Timothy. I apologize. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. This will be one verse we'll read, and then we'll preach a message dealing with this. And I pray that it'll be a life-changing message. Life-changing message. It'll be just what we need. And so read with me chapter 1, verse 7 of 2 Timothy. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, I ask of Thee now in this hour, in this moment, to be touched by Thee. I pray the unction that lives in me will preach through me. I know You don't have to have me, but I have to have Thee. So I pray for Your power. Ye promised that we would be endued from on high as we proclaim Your word and witness and testify. And would You help me this morning? I pray, as it says in Corinthians, that I'll be an earthen vessel, that I can have a treasure of the power and the excellency being of Thee and not of me. I don't want to preach with man's enticing words and wisdom, but I want to preach with God's wisdom. Help me now. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, holy, glorious name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Well, I've got some things I'm going to introduce to the message, and then we'll get to the message. But I'm going to preach this morning with God's help on exercising the mind, a sound mind. Here in the book of Timothy, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. And many people live in fear, don't they? They allow their mind to be haunted with fear. Afraid of this, afraid of that. Fear is the enemy of faith. It's the opposite of faith. It's doubt. And they allow their mind to be fearful. They're fearful of their salvation. They're fearful of tomorrow. They're fearful of the government. They're fearful of the economy and what tomorrow holds and what our family will be able to face and how we're going to face it. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, amen, but of power and of love. And of a sound mind. Not only do people have fear, but they have hate. But God's not given us a spirit of hate. He's given us a spirit of love. That we can love one another and encourage one another. And He's given us a sound mind to fight these things. And I want to look into that. The mind. You know, the battle is in the mind. Do you realize that? The battle zone is the mind. The Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Did you know that your mind is able to make you who you are? What you do with your mind is who you become. You begin to think things into your heart. The Christian you want to be depends upon how you use your mind. The disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ depends upon how you want to use your mind. You can even take somebody that is a professional of a certain thing. They work constantly at it. They don't just clock in 9 to 5, but they're constantly dedicating their hours off schedule to becoming this certain professional. And you'll find out that what they sleep, drink, and eat is that profession. They have dedicated their mind to it, and thus they have become it. I know sports players that when they have dedicated themselves so much to sports, I mean, that's all they think about. That's who they are. They say you are what you eat. I'm here to tell you, you are what you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what about this mind? Now the Bible tells us, I'm going to get into it like this. Number one this morning, and please take notes. I encourage you to do that for this message. This would be a great message to do that. If not, you can get online and listen, whatever. But this will be the kind of message that you want to have and that you want to give to people, I promise you. Not because of what I'm doing, but because it's the Bible. And so many people have this challenge in their lives about their mind. And I'm going to show you from the Scripture how to get some victory this morning. See, number one this morning, there's two kinds of wisdom. Two kinds of wisdom. There's, number one, God's wisdom. And then there is man's wisdom. Let me read some scripture verses with you to help you see that. There's God's wisdom and the world's or man's wisdom. If you listen to the book of James, turn with me to James. chapter number 3, let's look at these things of wisdom, where wisdom comes from, and there is a difference. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13, the Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works of meekness, with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly." See that? Sensual, devilish. Right there we see the truth that there is wisdom that comes from the earth. Man's wisdom, if you please, wisdom that is devilish, it's sensual, it's earthly, it's not heavenly. Wisdom that seeks to gain by stepping on others, that's what the world teaches. In order to succeed, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Does not the world teach that kind of a mythology? The people today promote, in order to have power, you have to exercise your power, which is contrary to Scripture. Did you know God's wisdom and man's wisdom, they're opposite. God does not think like man. A man sure doesn't think like God. There is a man's wisdom. The Bible goes on to say this in that same passage, verse number 16. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above," heavenly wisdom, "the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So again, that passage of Scripture identifies a heavenly wisdom, a worldly wisdom, a wisdom from God, a wisdom from man. There's two kinds of wisdom. You also see it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 8. And you can write down that reference. Listen good. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world." You see that? God again is showing us that there is a wisdom of this world, a wisdom that comes from this world that is man's wisdom. There is a heavenly wisdom from God, and there is a worldly wisdom from man. Listen to this verse. Write down Psalm 136, verse 5. Psalm 136, verse 5. The Bible says, "To him that by wisdom made the heavens." See, God's wisdom that is in heaven, because it came from God, He made the heavens by wisdom. You say, "Man, I want to be wise. Let me help you out. Get the wisdom from the one that made the world." Amen? I think He knows what He's doing. Come on now, help me. Everybody awake this morning? Come on now. Hey, the one that's got the world under control, if you need some wisdom, don't go to the ones that are trying to live in the world. Go to the one that made the world. His wisdom, His heavenly wisdom is what we need. There's two kinds of wisdom. And what wisdom do you have? Who do you listen to? Well, how is your mind developed? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What wisdom have you listened to that has made the person you are? Person of fear? Person of hate? A person of no control? A person of greedy gain? A person that steps on everyone to get somewhere? A person that wants me, 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 take, take, I? This world's wisdom is full of humanism and skepticism. Humanism is defined as the feeling of man, the betterhood of man, what man can get out of this world. If it feels good, do it. You see that bumper sticker? If it feels good, do it. I heard one time I was at, speaking of NAU, as an NAU, and I was with this one gentleman that was talking to some college students, and he said, "Listen, college students, my philosophy is if it feels good, do it." I thought, God help us. There's not a marriage in the world that would last with that philosophy. There's not a church that would go on for Christ with that philosophy. There's not a person that would keep a job with that philosophy. If it feels good, do it. That's wisdom of the world. That's the world's mind. And how many, think with me, how many Christians are thinking like that? Human philosophy. World's wisdom. And God teaches us in Psalm 104, verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." You can follow the world's wisdom, the people that live in this world, man's wisdom, or you can decide to listen to the wisdom of the one who made the world. God in his infinite, brilliant wisdom, who formed the world, and did he not do it just right? Did he not make it just right? I mean, how is it that the ocean can have the waves stop just right where they do on the beach shore? How can it be the way that the stars are hanging in space and not falling in this moment? The galaxies that exist, the God of the world in his wisdom made these things. The structure of the human body and how it functions and how you operate. If just one little thing was off here, or one little thing was erupted here in your body, you could not make it. But the manifold wisdom of our God. By the way, will you listen to man's wisdom? The one who lives in this world, or the heavenly wisdom from above of the one who made the world? There's two kinds of wisdom, as we've shown in James and Corinthians. And God says in Psalms that he makes it. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 7, one of my favorite verses about wisdom and a sound mind, going back to Timothy, how he's given us a sound mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 2, verse 7, that God, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. God, he lays up sound wisdom. So here is God who has his wisdom, and the Bible says he lays it up. In Proverbs chapter 2, you find out that you actually have to dig for it like treasure. You mine it. You work it to get the wisdom of God. Because here's the thing, God's wisdom does not come easy. Let me say that again. God's wisdom does not come easy. It's laid up. It's tucked away. Not everybody has it. How many of us have made decisions that later on we went, "Uh-oh, I wish I didn't make that decision"? Absolutely. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? The heavenly mind, God's wisdom. And that verse is like a theme verse that says, develop the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ. We need to develop the mind of Christ. By the way, you read that chapter, you see what a gracious mind it is. What a humbling mind it is. God's wisdom and the world's wisdom are two totally different things. Listen to this. In Isaiah, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." That's what he says. "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are that high. Because again, as James said, there's a wisdom that's earthly, sensual, that's from man. But then there's a wisdom from above that's heavenly, that's from God. And this wisdom is higher than our wisdom. God thinks, let me just say it like this, opposite than what we do. You think about the world's mind. You know how the world tells you inherit heaven? By works. You can sum up every religion today in two categories. And I use that word, I don't like it, because we don't have religion, we have relationship. Somebody help me out. Amen. We don't have religion here. We have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I walk with Him. He walks with me. He tells me I'm His own. Hallelujah. I'm not worshiping a dead God, a false God, a fake God. I worship the living and true God, Jesus Christ the righteous. But you can take the religions of the world, you name it, and they will all fall in two categories. 99% of them fall in this one category. You name it. And that category is works. In order to have peace, you must do this. In order to have a heaven, you must do this. I mean, Islam and Buddha and New Agers, you put them all you want. You give me the Hindu, you give me any religion there is, and there's all a center of works, works, works. But then you find the Bible way. And it's a 1%. It's all by itself. And it is not by works, but grace. By the Lord Jesus Christ. The mind of God is higher than the mind of man. Man wants to be prideful. Man wants to say, I've accomplished it. But Jesus has paid it all. He's made the way. He is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then you think about life in general. You think about success. Man thinks in order to have success, you have to exercise your power. God teaches, and that's a dog-eat-dog world. We live in this dog-eat-dog world. You know what I'm talking about, especially the young people coming up. They go to college, they get a degree, and then they go take a desk job of somebody that's already been there 30 years that doesn't have the degree. And I'm not against that, but you know what I'm talking about. And that new guy comes in there, and they don't know anything when it comes to how to encourage their co-workers and their people that work under them. They come in with power. We have a gentleman in our church that is he's a sales director over a sales team. And I mean, their percentage of sales is so high. Every year they increase, and a new company has just bought them out. And you know what they've told them? They've told them, we want more. The world says, lead with power. But you know what God teaches? We lead with influence. You know what power is? Influence. If you can influence somebody, they'll do everything you want them to do, and they'll enjoy doing it. I remember when I worked for a gentleman, best boss I ever had, Jeff Tice. What a blessing he was to me. That man would work with us. He knew how to encourage us, and if he was going to rebuke us, he did it in a good way. And I tell you, Jeff could have come up to me and said, Josh, I need you to work 15 straight days, 24 hours. I'd have gone, yes, sir. I would have done it because he influenced me. You don't raise your children on power. I'm the dad, and you do it because I told you to. I tell you what, if you can gain your child's heart to where they love their dad and love their mama, you'll keep them. They'll do what they're supposed to do because they love you. Influence. Success, the world tells you to step on people, but Jesus said that the one that exalts himself shall be abased, and the one that humbles himself shall be exalted. Jesus even teaches that don't go up and try to make friends with those in high places and put your chair with them. That's not how you do it. You humble yourself. You are honest. You're decent. You have character. That's the wisdom that God teaches. You don't hurt people. That's the wisdom the world teaches. Who would agree with me that God's wisdom and man's wisdom are different this morning? Raise your hand. Who would agree with me? Absolutely. And by the way, how are you going to raise your family? You want the world's wisdom, humanism? Like I told you, humanism, if everyone did it through humanism and the philosophy of humanism, there wouldn't be a marriage in the world that would succeed, be successful. None. It'd be a nightmare. Me, 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 me. Amen. They sing it like that, like they're warming up for a solo. Me, 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 me. There's not a person that can keep a job. That's why we got so many people today that I say, how long have you been working? Well, I was 18. I'm 25 now. How many jobs you got? 25? Whoa. When people today got, I mean, there's a new job every 6 months. Why'd you get a new job? Well, you know what it boils down to. They didn't like what they were getting. Humanism. Philosophy. The world's teaching. Whatever happened to character and decency? Whatever happened to someone that gives 8 hours of hard work for 8 hours of pay? See, this world's philosophy and skepticism, everything's skeptical and everything, there's no absolutes. That's the world teaching that there's no absolutes in this world. And it's so silly when they say there's no absolutes, they make an absolute. It makes no sense. There are no absolutes. Well, sir, you just made an absolute. And there are absolutes. Black is black and white is white. I've heard stories of professors on airplanes with preachers. And the preacher said, I leaned over and started talking to this professor, and he began to say, are we really flying? I mean, is this, are we really existing? Are we just matter? Is this really an airplane? This one preacher said he heard this conversation between a passenger and a professor, and they were discussing, are we really flying? The preacher said, I couldn't take it. I've heard enough of it. I just turned around and said, sir, let me be the first one to tell you, we are flying. Amen. We're in the air. Listen, all right? There are absolutes. You pay for what you do, the decisions you make. See, there's a man's wisdom, there's a world's wisdom, then there's God's wisdom. The Bible says, and number two, why do you need God's wisdom? Number two, why do you need it? Number one, we talked about two kinds of wisdom. Number two, why do you need God's wisdom? Let me give you a definition. I've been thinking about how can you define wisdom, and I've come up with this. I believe wisdom, God's wisdom now, not the world's wisdom, is defined this way. God's wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge spiritually. The ability to apply your knowledge spiritually. By the way, when you apply it spiritually, you apply it correctly. Why do you need God's wisdom? Because you need to know how to apply knowledge spiritually to your life. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many people are trying to build their home according to what they've heard in the world? How many people are trying to build their family, raise their children to the modern teachings that this world teaches on rearing children and being the spouse you ought to be? God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. When you listen to the world's teaching, when you listen to the philosophy of this world, you'll get man's wisdom for your life. You'll develop it. It'll get in your heart. You'll start thinking like the world. No wonder you're unhappy at home. No wonder you're unhappy at work. It's all about you. No wonder you're unhappy with what's going on in your life. I'm talking about weak kneed Christians, weak bones. They can't stand up for anything. Christians, they have a hard thing come in their life and they quit it. I've met Christians that move every 2 years because life gets too tough for them. You can't move away from problems. Your new address, the mailbox, you're welcome. They'll say, how you doing? Here's problem number bazillion. You know, you can't move away from problems. But this philosophy, this mind, this... See, listen, the world, as you take it in, the world's wisdom, you develop the mind of the world, you think like the world, you act like the world. Man's wisdom, and the end of this is depression, it's sickness, it's pain, a feeling of insecurity, misery, never happy, always looking for something to satisfy you. Is that not where this world is? A new car might do it. A new house could do it. A new job, a new location, a new move. New church, church hoppers and all this. You think something new is what you need? A new adventure in life. You've accomplished this, so now you're going to try this. You were a mountain biker. Now you're going to try to be a weightlifter. Now you're going to try to be a student. People are constantly trying to dive into new things to fulfill an emptiness that's inside them. That's man's wisdom. It's a lonely life when you live like that. The philosophy, by the way, our philosophy should come from our theology. Can I get an amen? Amen. Philosophy comes from right here. B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. You say, you mean tell me the Bible's got the answers for life? Yep. You know, if you read the book of Proverbs alone, you'll find out how to handle your finances. You'll find out how to handle your friendships. You'll find out how to handle relationships. You'll find out how to order your day. You'll find out how to talk to people. Just the book of Proverbs alone, 31 chapters, gives you more practical things for your life from God, I mean, than you'll ever find anything in this world. And it's the right thing. Again, God's wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge spiritually, which is correctly. And we need God's wisdom. We don't need man's wisdom. We need God's wisdom for our home. Now, let's get to the meat of it. The verse I read this morning was, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I want you to think with me now. Speaking of the mind, we're so weak at it, aren't we? How many books have you read lately? How much exercising do you do of the mind? The other day I was outside here, and on the edge of this building is a birdhouse. It's got books in it. I don't recommend any of the books. I haven't looked at them. I don't know. But I was looking at it, and I was around a bunch of high school students from Coconino High School. I was like, "Hey, girls!" And like, "Hey." You know, it's like, "What's up? Hey, you gonna grab a book? You gonna take your book home?" And it's almost like she was proud to say, "Book, ha! I don't read. I don't ever read." Of course, I jacked back with her and said, "Don't you read Facebook? Ha!" You know, she said, "Well, yeah, but that's not reading a book. Yuck!" You know, I walked away saying, "Dear God, that's our generation coming up." I looked at her and said, "You know, leaders are readers, amen." And then she sillily looked at me and was like, "Beggars can't be choosers," you know, being silly with me. I was like, "Oh, Lord, help us, amen." The mind. How do you develop your mind to be the mind of Christ? How do you get God's wisdom to be developed in your mind? How do you think like God and know how to apply the knowledge you have spiritually? How do you get there? Well, let's think about it for a few moments and we'll be done. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, there's two ways you can think in life. You think up here and you think right here. The more you think about something, you transfer it from here to here. An easy way to prove this is if you went out in town today and walked by a lot of people, tonight when you get home and it's dark 30, could you remember every face you saw in town? And the answer would be no. You wouldn't remember every face. But there could be some faces you remember. Someone that you concentrated on. Young teenage boys usually can remember that one girl face they saw that day because they did a little extra concentration. She is pretty, you know. Never mind, I'll move on. They thought about this person, they looked at them, they concentrated, and before they knew it, that face became a part of their heart. They can go home and actually pull that image back. You read the book of Job, and Job said he made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He was talking about thinking immoral. He was married. And it's interesting, you read that verse. He said, a covenant with my eyes. Why did he talk about thinking when he's talking about his eyes? Because the honest truth is, if he would go home and think about a woman, it's because he had been gazing on her with his eyes. Because you think here and you think so long, it becomes a part of you. That's what happens. The reason why humanism is in so many believers today is because all they do is they spend time thinking upon things of this world. In order to develop the mind of Christ, you've got to quit allowing the world to take up the space of your mind. Be honest with me. Do you read more scripture or watch more TV? You say, man, that's strong. You know what TV is? TV. You ever heard of a TV program? Raise your hand. You watched a TV program. Two people, three. There's about five of you. Let me educate the rest of you. There's TV programs out there. You go, there's a TV program coming on tonight. You're right. It is a program. And it programs your mind. By the way, did you know when you watch TV, you don't have to think? You don't have to exercise your mind. We're full of lazy thinkers. When you're on Facebook and you're flipping, the only thing you're exercising is your thumb. It thinks for you. We have lost what it is to have a sound mind. Many people will concentrate on physical fitness, but let me help you out, even greater than the physical fitness is the mind fitness, where you learn to exercise in your mind and become mature in your mind, a thought process. We're full of people that do everything they're told. Hey, if someone could convince you to do something, somebody else can convince you to not do it. We have to exercise our mind. We have to become readers again. We've got to learn what it is to concentrate and think and critically put things in process. We've got to have sound minds. And by the way, in order to have God's wisdom through this, you've got to get in the Bible. God's Word. Honestly, the reason why so many Christians are struggling with life, they have fear in their minds, they doubt their salvation, they're afraid of tomorrow, they're struggling at the home, is because they have allowed their mind to have all the wisdom of the world and nothing from God. How much Bible did you read last week? No wonder you're afraid. No wonder you've got problems at home. You know what you need to do? You just need to be honest this morning. Look right here. You just need to be honest this morning. And you might not like this. I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm not saying you don't have a Bible. I'm not saying that you love being a Christian. But what you need to be honest with is, I am full of the world's wisdom. The decisions I make, they're not spiritual. Because, here it is. It is impossible to have spiritual decisions apart from being in this book. It is impossible. I don't care if you grew up in church. I don't care if you were raised in church and you've had hours of preaching and you've had hours of hearing the Word of God and you've sang songs until you're blue in the face. If you're living a life from Sunday to Sunday full of this world and you're not taking time to get in this book, it's impossible to make spiritual decisions. You might think you've made them. But can I tell you, it's impossible? There's a reason why you have a problem giving truth to people. There's a reason why you have a problem being merciful and kind. There's a reason why your patience is so thin. There's a reason why you're struggling at the house and struggling with your coworkers. It's because the wisdom of this world is what makes you act. You've developed that mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, a living sacrifice. That's the first thing you do in the Christian life. You say, all to Jesus, I surrender. I give my body to God. Whatever you want, Lord, it's yours. Oh, I love it. I hope you've done that. But not so fast. Understand this morning, you can have a body that's yielded. You can have a heart that says, I want to serve God. You can love Him. You can want to serve Him. But unless you do verse 2, you will not make decisions that are right. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind. We need the wisdom of God, yet we allow our mind to hear the wisdom of the world, don't we? And that's why our homes are a mess. That's why our churches are struggling. That's why Christians are quitting. Because we've got humanism written all over us. We've got the philosophy of this world instead of the philosophy of theology. Did you know, look, if you're going to have an ideology, it better be a bibliology. Amen. Better come from the Bible. Because that's the path to success. You know what he said in Joshua 1:8? We'll read this verse and be done. Joshua 1:8, very interesting verse. It's the only place in all the Bible where God gives the word success. Who wants to be a success? Raise your hand. Amen. I do too. Amen. I don't want to look at my life when I'm about to go to heaven and say, I was an unsuccessful person. I want to be able to say, thank God I was a success. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says this. The only place in all the Bible success is mentioned. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Success comes from my mind being filled with the wisdom of God. God's wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge spiritually. I give one more illustration. Listen to me. In your mind, you might be somebody that fights all kinds of things. And you can't get it out of your mind. You can't escape it. Once you start, it's a downward fall. You just keep digging yourself in the war. You just keep digging yourself into fear. You just keep digging yourself into bitterness. Once it starts, you're like, I can't get a hold of it. It ruins your day. It gets you knotted up. It hurts you. It physically weighs on you. You know why you can't flee the thought? You want to know why when it starts up, you can't say enough of it and it exits your mind? You want to know why? Because your mind is weak. Your mind is not sound. You have not trained it. You've not developed it. It's weak to fear. It's weak to doubt. It's weak to fleshly thoughts. When you begin to develop, and yes, that means you've got to set time aside and get some character. And I mean, get some character to get your mind in the Bible, to get your mind in prayer. You've got to say no more to this and yes to this. You've got to have some character. And when you do, you'll find out your mind is able to think right. Lester Roloff will say this. He had a boys' home for addicts and troublemakers. I mean, dope heads and girls' home for these things. And I can hear him now. I heard him on tape. I can hear him now. He said, when a guy comes to the home, he says, what do you do with them? He's got so much junk in here, in the mind. He's got so much of it, junk. What do you do to them? He said, well, every morning they get up and they read the Bible. And then they memorize scripture. And then we preach to them. And then they memorize more scripture. And then they do Bible studies. And then they read the Bible some more. And they read the Bible some more. And then we have a chapel at night. And at the end of the day, they have put so much Bible in their mind that slowly it begins to ease the garbage out of their mind. Slowly they begin to put God's wisdom in their mind. I'm telling you, what we need is to have a mind that is a sound mind, that is exercised, that is strong enough because it's taken in the wisdom of God. That's what we need. We'd have victory. We wouldn't live defeated. We wouldn't make stupid decisions. Through God we can if we allow Him to do it. But you got to have character. You got to have character. Let's pray. God's been working on my heart on this matter for weeks now. I try to preach it often. Try to get it in as much as I can. I want to help you this morning. The reason why you have these thoughts that go through your mind is because your mind has been exercising nothing. It's weak. It's feeble. You've not disciplined your mind for God's wisdom. You say, I can't quit this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Jesus is more than able to cleanse every sin and give you total victory over it. He's more than able to help you this morning. He's more than able to help you have the right mind for your life, for your family, for your home. He's more than able to help form you into His Son's dear image, God's Son's dear image. He's more than able. I will not embarrass you this morning, but let me ask you a question. If you were to die right now, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? If you're to die, do you know for certain you'll go to heaven? Not everybody knows this. And unfortunately, many people are going to die and not go to heaven. I will not embarrass you, but if you're here and you say, preacher, that's me, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know for certain that I will go to heaven when I die. Would you please pray for me? I'm going to snap my finger up, and if you'll slip your hand, I'll pray for you. Preacher, that's me. I will not embarrass you. Slip it up right now. I don't even know for certain I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? What about it, Christian? Isn't it about time that we have some more discipline than what we've given the Word of God? Isn't it about time that we start saying yes to Bible reading? Listening to God's wisdom, it's impossible. You're not going to do right. You can maintain, you can fight, you're going to be miserable inside, you're going to have all kinds of fear. God's wisdom is the right wisdom. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is where it all boils down to. Jesus. He's wonderful. I'm going to pray when I say amen. I'm going to ask that if you're under this conviction, God's touching your heart, I'm going to ask that you come forward and kneel at the altar. We do it every service. Just you and the Lord. No one's going to come. You just go, just you and the Lord, and you dedicate your mind to being spiritual. To allow the things that is in your mind to get out and to let God's wisdom in. That's what you need. God's wisdom. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us this morning. Pray you give us the victory.